This is Infection, the Survival Podcast, recorded live on Tuesday, July 26th, 2016, episode 80. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Infection, the Survival Podcast. Infection is your source for the latest information on survival video games. We bring you the latest news, reviews, updates, and more each and every week. My name is Nick Craig, at Nicholas M. Craig is my Twitter. InfectionPodcast.com is the website. Joining me, Brian with Beard Oil Aldridge. Hello, Brian.
Yes. And thank you, Gravity Beard, for recommending, because I almost got beard wax. And he was like, no, don't get beard wax. So I got beard oil, and I've been happy with it. As I was saying before, I don't have it in today just because I have hockey tonight, and beard oil and hockey don't mix well with sweat and everything. So I just figured I'd go natural today. So if you want to find me at Boise Computer on Twitter, you're more than welcome to go to my blog, which is Bite of Tech, B-I-T-E of tech.com. On there's links to my Google Plus and everything else, which who uses Google Plus anymore?
Nobody, absolutely nobody.
Yeah, I go check the feed every once in a while. It's like, this is all just useless information.
Repost from Reddit.
Yeah, if you want to go to infectionpodcast.com, it's a great way to join us on Discord. We've got 18 people online right now, 50 people that are offline. So it's a great place to kind of join up and maybe play some video games.
Oh, let me also... Yeah, let me talk. So Discord, I added, this was a recommendation from Langun, and I saw somebody in there, the channel the other day, is we added a Survivor Radio as a bot to our Discord, and it sits in its own channel called Music, and it's streaming a video game stream by the name of No Life Radio. So it's kind of a video game stream database. There's thousands and thousands of game intros, cutscenes, like all those little, you know, all the music you hear in games. So if you're interested in hearing some stuff like that, you can hop in the Discord. The channel's in there 24/7. There's a help channel if it stops working on how to set it back up and getting up and running. So check it out.
Some nice gaming music.
We'll keep it around for a few weeks. If nobody uses it, we'll turn it off, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah, and you could always change up what's on there a little bit too.
Somebody recommended trying to put an Infection on there, so I think this week I'm going to work on setting up a stream to get the Infection live streaming in Discord, audio only. Maybe for people on
like
the road.
random episodes?
No. I mean live for the show. Like live for the show.
Oh, I see. So people could listen.
It'll be music all the time, except for, you know, Infection.
So pipe that in so they can't be listening to music when they're supposed to be listening.
Yeah, I'll
to
put
the
it
show.
In the general channel. I'll put it in every channel so that they can't possibly not.
You can't sit there and enjoy a video game. They have to listen to us.
Yeah, you have to listen. It's mandatory.
That's the way to do it.
So yeah, that's what's going on with Discord.
And also our Steam group. Encourage you, if you're not a member of our Steam group, on the upper right of our website, infectionpodcast.com, there is a link to our Steam group. It's a great way to connect up with some of the many people that are part of that. I mean, got hundreds of people in there. So if you're looking for people that play a specific game, that's an excellent place to look.
Now, this week's game is going to be Rust, yes. And I just found out that I have to work a wedding, so I will not be here. So I missed Hurt World, I'm missing Rust, I'm missing all of the games I wanted to be here for, but life goes on. So
I should be there. So
Langun will be there as well.
Langun's gonna be running it, so
so that's what's going on with game of the week. So we'll see you Rust Friday night 9:30, yeah, there you go. Hopefully you guys enjoy that. And Brian, of course, we'll have a recap next week for you. Yep. Let's see, Brian. You purchased a game that came out today that you said you didn't want to purchase because you didn't.
Yeah.
If I remember the quote, I was like,
I don't want it to
be spoiled or something like that. And I came home.
I didn't want a partial story to spoil.
So what did you get?
So I got We Happy Few because I read that they don't have the storylines in there at all. It's not that they're incomplete. Like, they have the intro, you know, like pretty much the cutscene and all the things that get you into the world that you saw in the video, that initial play video. But they don't have the character storylines in the game at all. So for me, that was good enough. Like, I didn't want to play through a story that was going to possibly change. And I didn't want to play through a story that wasn't going to be complete, like all of a sudden it was going to end. And that was my biggest worry with getting it, was having an incomplete or storyline that they ended up, you know, changing halfway through. So I may, when they start putting out the storyline, and that's the thing is, I looked into the game a little bit now that there was more information about it. And it's pretty much a survival game that, and I feel like I've barely touched the surface. So I played it for a while today, and I feel like I've barely touched the surface because they have your, you know, I don't remember, know how many people remember the video, but they have like the joy pills that you take that kind of change your whole perception of reality.
Yeah.
In the game, I haven't taken any joy pills. Like you see there, where, you know, like she looks happy and everything, and then you kind of see this dirty other version. I've gone through and just made sure that through the whole game, I haven't taken any joy pills. So I think that there's some whole side, like when I walk through the town, that it would look a different way. Gotcha. that I've only seen like the dirty areas, and it's still a lot of fun. Like you run around and kind of gathering, and it's procedurally generated, which I was kind of surprised about. Like the world is procedurally generated. I figured it would be something they built, but I guess that way it changes. And I don't know if that's like the main town, if there's parts that are the same, like in the center, but this would be, I'll keep playing it and we'll just have to see kind of how it unfolds, because so far it looks like it's going to be really good. But it's a straight up survival game. You know, you go through, you gather things, you build, there's a crafting system. But it's got kind of a fun, very depressing story that goes on top of it.
Yeah. So I was going to pick it up, and then I just realized I wasn't going to have time to buy it and play it before the show after I got home from work. So I will, yeah. I'll pick it up either some point this week or next week. I'm not going to buy it if I'm not going to play it right. I'm going to buy it when I'm ready to, you know, play for, yeah, for an hour or so, a few hours. So we'll see, but it's out there now. You can get it. It's $29.99. Remember, it is early access, and it's also, yeah, available on PlayStation and Xbox. So you can get it on all three platforms. It's part of Xbox Live's, I don't remember what they're calling their early access program, but I saw a tweet from them today that it is available on their platform, and it's available on Sony's PlayStation as well. So you can definitely get it. Multiple platforms, check it out, and let us know what you're thinking of it. I saw you'd only played what, like, it said you played
probably like an hour, maybe?
You said it said you played 0.5 of an hour, but sometimes that's Steam.
No,
thing
well,
is
I
totally
went in.
Inaccurate.
I went in a little bit. I went in two times, so I went 1 hour far exactly. And so yeah, it's a procedurally generated world, meaning that everyone's experience is going to be unique. And that's the thing, is it doesn't look procedurally generated. I mean, they did a really good job of,
which is good,
making the landscape. Like when you're walking through, it's not obviously like, oh, this is just a computer, you know, putting all this stuff together. It looks like a normal looking town. So it has a range of difficulties, it says. So you can make it a harder game, an easier game. Permadeath. I've been playing only permadeath so far as well.
So when you die, you're
when
dead.
I die, my character. So that's why I haven't really progressed super far, is because if you starve to death, or, you know, somebody hits you.
That's interesting.
But you can turn that off.
Yeah. You know, I don't think I like that, to be honest with you. I mean, okay.
You don't like permadeath?
No. I mean, say what you want. It's just, and I don't want to, I don't like grinding. I don't like, you make a wrong turn and now you've got to restart the entire game from the start.
Like, well, and okay.
That
so
kind of bugs me.
I think one reason why I'm doing it this way is because not all the stories in there, I don't know how much of an end game there is. I don't want to hit the end and realize what the limitations are. Right.
Yeah.
And so I'd rather have it to where I die and kind of have to grind through again, instead of finding, oh, here's where they have reached as far as programming and designing this. Cause that makes it feel, because you know how, when you beat a game or you get to, you know, you hit some limitation and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, this, you know, I don't really feel like playing this game anymore.
Yeah.
I don't want that to happen. So I'm just doing it on permadeath, and kind of makes me push until they release the actual game, and then I find out what the actual limitations are of the game. I just don't want to run around and be like, oh, well, this is all I can do. You know, I want it to be to seem fun for longer. But yeah, it's a straight up survival. So if you go, and we'll have a link in the show notes, actually, I put a link in there. So if you're looking to order, or you just go on Steam, look up We Happy Few. $29.99 is not a bad price.
So this is my thing. It's not a bad price, but I feel like, so I'm not sure what they're going to do with the development but is it just going to be the version you have now? They're going to work on it internally, and then they're going to release a version at the end, or are they going to be doing updates and adding the story in throughout the early access program?
Yeah, I think that they're going to be adding it. So, I don't know. Like, that's a good question. I think right now it says you have access to 3 of 5 islands, right? Not all the areas are open yet. And I don't think it's going to be like, okay, you get to play this, and then all of a sudden it's going to be complete. It's going to be between 6 and 12 months that it's going to be in early access. So that's the amount of time that they're doing it, but they're going to be adding in more cutscenes and narrative ideas.
This is kind of where I was going with this. If you want more of a finished product, it may be wise for you to wait 6 mm-hmm. months to get it while it's still early access.
If you're a person who only plays through something once and then you never touch it again, you may not be happy with this, because there's a whole bunch of storyline and different options that you won't have the option of if you play it through right now.
That's kind of where I have this issue. For you, I definitely don't see that being an issue, but I know, and personally myself, I'm kind of this way. I buy this now and I play it. What am I, let's say it takes me, you said none of the storyline is in?
Only the initial, up to the point of you being able to really control your character and being out in the world.
Okay, so what, like 4 hours, 3 hours maybe, if the story...
I've already played through, like, it was the first, like, 15 minutes.
Oh, so it's already... So you're just wandering around the world.
Now I'm in the world and I can craft things and find things.
Yeah, see, so I don't know. I feel like...
So there's more storyline after that I'm not seeing. And some of these cutscenes that you see are, I think, from that story that they haven't released yet.
Yeah.
You can run around and like do things, but there's not going to be a trigger point that says, all right, now, unfold this part of the story. Like, that's not in. And one thing, though, to keep in mind is they're saying that the price is lower during early access. Like, right now, it's $29.99. Once it's released, they're raising the price.
It is. And that's what I'm saying. Maybe if you're like me, maybe you time this so that you buy it in 4 months, once they have, a decent chunk of the story added.
Because it definitely won't be done before 6 months. So they said 6 to 12 months, it'll be in early access. Yeah. So at least buy it before they release.
Or buy it now and just don't play it. That's what I might do. Yeah. I may buy it just to guarantee that they don't hike the price up. I won't even install it. I'll just wait till we follow the development and see what happens with it. Because without a story, I mean, it's like really, you've hit like what you can do in the game. Like what you can craft stuff.
I mean, I don't even know. Like, I can craft stuff.
But there's no story, what are you going to do? Just craft stuff and
run around and see what happens. That's the thing that's what I was saying. I don't even know the limitations yet. I don't know like what I can do, what I can't do. And that's kind of the fun part of it right now, of playing that. But as soon as I find out where the limits are, it's going to be like, oh, this isn't nearly as fun. And I'm going to have to wait for the rest. And I don't know as far as multiplayer or anything. I think it's a single player?
I believe it's single player only.
It's single player. So this is pretty much just you playing in your own world. So if you want to play through it once, just wait.
Yeah, exactly. I'm kind of comparing this. I know it's not the same game style, but to Firewatch, a kind of a play, buy it.
I think that's how it will be.
But see, this is where you run into a problem. There's got to be a lot, and I mean a lot of content, because if Firewatch was a $20, $25, maybe $30 game at full value. They can't charge $60 for a game that's got, 8 hours of playtime. I mean,
noticed that was really early access is, like, I could go up and punch NPCs and then like run on the other side of a door, and they kind of all would gather around that door, and they wouldn't come in.
H1Z1 had that issue with the zombies originally. If you shut all the doors, the zombies couldn't open them. Yeah, that must be something.
Well, and this one, like, even the door is open, and like if you kind of stand in the right way, like one of them will come through the door. But that's one thing with the pathing and the NPC behavior, they're gonna have to work on that to make it toward that's more of a threat, because I could pretty much punch out 15 people if I just kind of use doorways to my advantage.
That's a problem.
So, but that's all stuff. This is their first early access release. They've been working on it for a while. This was a Kickstarter originally.
Yeah.
And so this is their first early access release on Steam. You know, in another year out, it's definitely very well polished. Like, the world feels better than H1Z1 for sure. Just as far as, like, everything works. Like, everything is laid out, and it's procedural. The fact that they were able to pull that off shows that they really know what they're doing. So we'll see.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to see the updates, and hopefully it's not something where, you know, 6 months from now they put out the one update and I'm not going to have anything new for 6 months.
Yeah, that's an issue. But
we'll find out.
Exactly. So I guess we'll keep you up to date with what's going on with that, and we'll see what happens. So this we had a new skin hit the test server.
Yes.
The King of the Kill test server. They've been doing a lot of the King of the Kill test server updates. And I've got a recommendation for all of you H1Z1 fans. Follow H1Z1 DB. It's at H1Z1DB.dotnet on Twitter. He's got some type of automated system that tweets out every time that there's a new test server update for Just Survive or King of the Kill. So if you're really, really interested in hearing, like, it doesn't have details of what the updates are, but if you're interested, like, hey, when's a new update coming out? It's got everything in here, the change ID, the build ID, and what game it's for. So I can recommend that, because that's how, you know, this was in one of these, and there was one a little bit earlier today as well. So this is the Ronin crate.
Yes.
And there's some controversy with crates and skins and stuff that we'll get to after this.
Next.
Now, Brian, I'm just going to kind of show this is the thumbnail of what is inside of this crate. And it looks like the first half, they totally missed the mark. But it seems like about halfway through, they kind of got it together. So I would say items are this, like, weird, they're calling it a
Neko-chan,
which is, like, all, like, spacey, psychedelic, with the hoodie has a hat, a cat
Cats
on it.
Wearing glasses.
Cat wearing sunglasses. That kind of look. It's so weird because there's stuff like that. You've got a cat wearing sunglasses with this background being space on a hoodie, and then four items down from that, you have a heavy assault military backpack, and then next to that, a sniper laminated body armor, which is like real deal.
What if you get
armor?
Stuck with the Neko-chan R380, like the most pointless gun in the game? I think you win the skin of a purple space themed 380.
Yeah,
I mean, that, you know, this is the thing, is that they put in some of those skins that they were pushing before. So the sniper outfit, the sniper body armor, the sniper helmet, which this was because there was so much backlash on the sniper having a hat, right, rather than a helmet.
Yeah,
this is the sniper helmet. So they've backed off of that. I know that aesthetically they want to have the sniper wearing a hat because that's what they see in the movies, and that's what they feel like would really, a sniper would be wearing a hat.
That's what they, I mean, but that's typically what they do wear. Yeah,
but that's the thing, is there aren't places for you to be a sniper in this game.
Exactly. There's like, no hill for you to sit. I can think of one, maybe two locations where you could be a sniper, but they're not really sniper spots. They're just high vantage points. They're
really, you could put a watchtower in your base, but still, like, you want to have a helmet because the part of you that is exposed in this type of a game is your head.
This game is not realistic enough where you should be worried about, oh, well, hey, I got to have a, you should be more worried about having a helmet.
You're not going to be like in DayZ. DayZ was really nice because as a sniper, you could hide up on a hill and someone would have to walk right up on you to be able to see that you were there.
Yeah.
That's one thing that I really liked about that. This game is not like that. So you're not going to be getting all your camo on and hiding in some place and just trying to be agile to be able to move around.
So what do we got here?
Yeah, so they have that sniper outfit. They put in the heavy assault military backpack, which is the black backpack with kind of red highlights on it.
Yep.
To match the rest of that outfit. Then they have the Shogun body armor, which is kind of like is it supposed to be like a Chinese?
It's kind of like some type of like warrior thing. It's got
like, yeah, like
the
a Shogun warrior.
Yeah,
from,
exactly.
You know, kind of like a samurai sword type of
exactly.
A thing.
Exactly. Like, yeah, with that kind of style. That's got that kind of ribbed style with a bunch of plates.
Okay, so is this
together.
A hint at a skin for the machete that looks like a samurai sword.
No, and there shouldn't be a hint. They should have put it in this one because it's so stupid that they wouldn't put it in this crate if that was
because
the
isn't plan. Because I thought we saw teases of that a long time ago of a samurai sword in the game.
I have no clue.
And it would have been a long time ago, but that would be the thing that would make sense with this. If you're going to do this, like have the big reveal of a skin for, and because you don't even have to put in its own weapon, just put a skin on a machete.
Exactly.
And say, all right, here's your samurai sword to go along with your shogun body armor so that you can be a warrior or whatever. Instead, they put in a 9mm skinned Asian samurai warrior handgun, which doesn't make any sense to me. Like,
well, they added the bow, which kind of fits it a little bit. The bow is in there. But
it's a nice recurve bow, but rest of it just doesn't match it.
There's no nothing matches at all.
It doesn't. That's the thing.
None of this matches. None of this whole crate is just like it to me. It like here's the thing. There's no pants in this at all. So
well, no, there's cargo pants in the lower right.
Yeah. There's cargo pants, but like for the shogun. Like,
what
are you gonna wear? So you're gonna wear the helmet, the boots and the body armor. And what are you going to wear? And then the pants, they don't match. That didn't make the cut?
No, those are shogun. That's the thing is that, yeah. Those
oh my
are
God, I didn't even look at the name.
But they're just like gray cargo pants.
They don't even fit the style. Oh, that's so stupid.
You figured they would put some sort of leg armor, kind of like what a shogun warrior would have, right?
I don't even care about armor. Why don't they just make it red like the rest of the whole thing?
Yeah.
It doesn't. None of this fits. None of this matches. To me, this just looks like they had finished a few like models and just put them all in one big crate.
Yeah. Now, what about the Neko-chan shorts? Like, those look kind of similar, but I don't know why they're putting these in Just Survive. I mean, I've already talked about that enough.
Yeah, I mean, so far these are just in King of the Kill, but they will come to Just. There's been no indication that skins are going to stop coming to Just Survive. So
yeah.
I mean, it's just, I just don't understand.
Well, how would they release the sniper?
They
and
would.
All that?
So
if they don't do this whole
they
crate,
have, they're
that's
gonna
the
have
thing
to,
is
exactly. They have no choice.
I don't see why they don't do. They could have done this as two separate crates.
That's what I'm
have
saying.
Have a fun crate if you want to have a ridiculous outfit, and then have people running their, you know,
I mean, come on,
doing the raffles for the sniper body armor, the assault mask, the, you know, the tactical helmet, all that stuff. Like have that be in one because I don't want to win these other ones.
Everything with a line through it doesn't make sense in this crate.
Yeah,
they're bright colors. They don't make any sense.
They could have done that as its own crate.
Not, I mean, they couldn't. They wouldn't have been able to do those six things at their own crate, but they could have made another kind of. This is like a hipster, not even hipster. It's just like a meme style design. That sunglasses with the cat with the sunglasses. That's like a meme style, but it's mixed in here with a heavy assault backpack, sniper fingerless gloves, tech combat boots, sniper tactical helmet. It just doesn't make any sense. There's no logic behind this. These two things do not fit.
Yeah.
You have six skins that don't make any sense in this game. They make absolutely no sense. They don't fit the game, and then they sure as hell don't fit. They don't match with anything else in this crate.
See, but I think this is just designers. Like, oh, what funny thing can we put from the internet? You know, and make it a theme. They're just making meme themed skins. And I personally, I don't like seeing those. And I've already talked about that. That's pollution to me in Just Survive. The fact that they put all this junk in here is pollution to me. And it just totally turns me off to wanting to play. Like one thing. Okay. So let's talk about We Happy Few. The thing is when you go in there, it has a 1960s feel to it. Everything does.
Yeah.
Like they keep to the theme, they keep to the aesthetic that they're trying to get with this. So many of these games, they keep to that design. I mean, you could talk about Miscreated. Like they keep to the theme. Like there are things that you would realistically see: the shirts, the hats, the weapons, everything fits, right? Even for the most part in DayZ, I mean, I haven't seen anything that's ridiculous. I don't see screenshots of people just looking horrendous in DayZ. You know, it's just this. It seems like it's unique to this game.
You see people with no clothes on, handcuffed in the middle of a street. No, but
yeah,
it just I'm fine, and I've stated this, and I'll state it again. I'm fine with stuff like this Neo-chan in the game. I'm perfectly fine with it in the game. But now, if I was...
I'm fine with it in King of the Kill, personally.
If I were to go out, I don't buy skins to start or buy crate keys to start. But if I was going to and I wanted any of these sniper things, I would not buy this a key for this crate. Because you're most likely going to end up with... Yeah, maybe you'll get the
percentage-wise, you're going to get something you don't
want.
Exactly. Like, I don't want the Shogun stuff.
If it was like desert camo, urban camo, and digital camo all in one crate, right? Those three kind of things.
And you have to get enough of them to possibly make an outfit of one or the other. But the thing is I'm going to get an outfit that just booty shorts for my male character. I mean, come on.
But that's what I'm saying. If it was three different types of ammo, urban, digital, and whatever, name a third type of a camo. If you got one, if your body armor was digital and your pants were urban and your boots were something else, they're all camo. They're not the same kind of camo, but all
you would
fit.
Still get people that are willing to put money in to try
exactly.
to complete their
I mean,
set.
Are you like you're gonna wear rainbow colored booty shorts and your tech camo boots with your Neo-chan R380? And your Shogun helmet, like none of that matches. Absolutely none of it, and it doesn't make any sense together. That's the thing that doesn't make sense. What this looks like to me is, hey guys, we need to get another crate out. What skins do we have done? And this is what the result looks like, in my opinion, because I don't see who
they should be taking more. I know it takes them a long time to finish these, but like, just make us a themed crate.
Yeah, like the wrestling crate. That was fine. Everything was wrestling. It was all
is it
themed.
Because you would, if you're wanting that wrestling stuff, you get that crate.
Exactly. You're not
build the set. However,
exactly.
But that's the thing is with this, they're mixing so many different themes that it just makes me. I don't want those things. I don't want them polluting my list of inventory items. You know, of my skin items. I don't want it. And so, we'll have to see. I mean.
It just doesn't
have you
sense.
Noticed in on the male character they have bikini underwear? You ever notice that?
No,
I've never. If you look, like they got bikini underwear.
I mean, I don't know. I've never. I don't ever shred my pants in the game. So,
well, you're running around in the beginning area.
Like, I'm tabbed out. I don't even pay attention. I wait until somebody says, "Hey, 3 seconds," and I'm like, "Oh, tab back in. Let's do this."
I just you know, it's like so, and all these guys are running around in these little like. Daisy Duke shorts. It's just so weird to me. Like the themes are just so weird.
Yeah. So this crate, I just think is could be totally off the mark, but I feel like it's again, it's just a total cob job of, hey, we need to get a new crate out. So we got,
I think they could have gotten a lot of positive things from the sniper laminated body armor from the sniper tap. Like that's beautiful. Like people would have given it a lot more.
Do you remember? Do you remember all the, we spent probably an hour showing all of the concept art that they did in that live stream. We showed so much concept.
Don't you think they're aiming at like the 12-year-old, you know, maybe above with like that cat?
No, that's not. That's the thing. That's like an internet. That's like the inner. That is aiming at like teenagers,
millennials,
kids in their 20s. Because that's like the, it's, but I just, I don't know. It just blows my mind that they would put all those things together.
Well, they could have made so much better of a theme. Like, go with the Shogun warrior. Like, you know, make a full samurai. Make it look more samurai-ish.
Yeah.
Like, make that the theme of it, and then have one that's your combat based outfits, and then have one that's just ridiculous cats wearing sunglasses in space.
Yeah. Why don't you make a meme crate with it? It's all meme. That would be cool because it's all one style. Doesn't appeal to me, but it's all one style. But I'm sure as hell not going to go out and waste money on keys. To get my Neo-chan R380 skin. It's just not, it just doesn't, I'm just not going to do it. I wouldn't do it anyway, but I'm 100 times less likely to do it now because 6 or 7 of the items in this crate, I would want to get rid of it, would not want in my inventory because it would just add extra stuff to the list that I have no interest in wearing. So that's kind of how I see this. So we don't know when it's going to be in the game. We don't know anything about it. All we know is that it's the Ronin crate. If you want some more details, it's on the Survivor Rest .com website, and you can see all the items, and there's some higher resolution thumbnails of them, so on and so forth.
So there's been a big controversy over on Reddit, and there was a post where they have they're removing the ability to sell certain older H1Z1 crate items
they did on that
the
Steam
marketplace.
So yesterday they put this in effect. I'll just read that statement first. So it says, on July 25th, 2016, we will be removing the ability to sell certain older H1Z1 crate items on the Steam marketplace. Crate items have been marked trade only since Mercenary crates. Since the Mercenary crates were released last year, this change brings the older pre-Mercenary crate items in line with the rest of the crate items in the game. Please note that the crates themselves can be traded and sold on the marketplace. So you can sell the items, or you can sell the crates and all that stuff. You just can't sell the items that you're
actual
getting
items
from,
in the crates.
From anything pre-Mercenary. So, Hanny, who runs Survivor Rests and runs a trading post website. The way these trading posts work is you say, I want to give up these six items. It gets he has a Steam account, essentially. Well, it's not essentially. He does. He has a Steam account that holds everybody's skins, and then the website has a database or whatever that says, okay, these skins go to, you know, this skin goes to Brian, this skin goes to Brian.
And it sends them.
And it sends them, exactly. So that's how that works. The issue is, that since they did this thing, he has almost 70,000 items now stuck in his Steam inventory that he can't do anything with.
He
can't do anything with them. That's a real issue.
So, and that's going to come back on him. Like, people are going to view him poorly for this, right?
Because
they're going to think that, and it has nothing to do with him. Daybreak made this change.
The skins are gone.
Your skins back.
Exactly. You can't get your skins back now.
He can't send them back, and they didn't give notice. That's the thing is, he had said, if you would have given notice at least, then he could have, you know, given people all their skins back, right, before it took effect.
Yeah.
But the thing is now, as you said, he is stuck with all of these, and people think that now he has skins that are theirs, right, because – you know, these were all things that were supposed to be traded back and forth. It's just another one of those decisions that they just kind of like, oh, we should do this, and they just do it. Like, where's the forethinking?
Yeah, no
thought of all this.
There's no, there is none, and that's really what it comes down to. They have done this now. All of these crates are lost, essentially, or all these skins are essentially gone. Because they're gone. These skins are completely gone. There's nothing that can be done with them now. They're stuck on his... And what he says is they're stuck on his bot account that doesn't even own the game. He doesn't even have a copy of the game on this account.
No.
It's just this lost account that now has 70,000 items stuck on it that can't be traded.
Yep.
So it's like, what are you going to do? It's it doesn't make any sense.
I assume it's hard for them to change this back now. I don't know. And I could tell from his post, he was incredibly mad about it.
Yeah. I mean, he should be.
Yeah. I don't know what else other than just saying, whoops, you know, let's undo this, what they can expect to do. I don't know. Like, it's a mess. It's a mess. And that's the thing is, if they're going to do this, at least say in a week, we're going to be doing this. I don't know if they're trying to stop people from trading right before, but what's the point? Like, why? Why are you trying to stop people from trading these around how they should?
I don't understand the whole point of having these stupid skins of the game anyway.
They want you to be buying these things.
Well,
and
it's not that
no
you can't trade them.
You
can't sell them.
Yeah. Well, no, that's the
thing. So they're trade only.
Well,
they've been marked trade only.
Some of the shirts have been marked turned to non-tradable.
Some of the shirts you're saying have?
Because this guy was posting in Reddit saying, I have 500 plus of this one type of shirt that's been changed to non-tradable.
Oh, nice.
So he can't do anything with them.
Yeah. And a lot, some, so, a lot of Legion CM and Radar X were both tagged in on this post, and Radar came in with this post and said, we'll talk to some of the folks and let you know if we can provide some more details. 70,000 items is far, far away. You know, is way farther than the average player has. The average player doesn't have 70,000 items, which is a valid point. And you know, he says something that if I was in Handy's shoes, I'd be pissed. I'd be beyond pissed. But what he says, I mean, is valid. He goes, let's try to keep this thing in perspective. And that is true. While this is, I can say it is very shitty, Brian, you can totally agree.
Yeah.
But we do have to keep this in perspective that there is maybe a handful of people that have 70,000 skins, you know, a handful of people that are running these trading websites. It's not like everybody is.
But they need to be working unless they don't want people trading. Like, that's the thing, is if they don't want this being a thing. But I think there's a lot of people that just wouldn't do skins if that weren't a thing. Like, they're making money from it still. They need to work with these places that are promoting their product. I mean, that's one thing we've seen from Daybreak, and we can complain about. Daybreak does not like to work with people unless they're a huge streamer, or, you know, if they don't view them as a huge streamer.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I don't see them really working well with Hanny. Like, Hanny's been pissed at him for a while from gathering how he's been reacting. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. So who knows here? And then a lot of people just pretty much telling the devs that, you know, they're doing an awful job. And of course, them coming back, oh, we appreciate your feedback, so on and so forth. Yeah. But God, it's like they can't win. So I would like to hear what the real reason is. Like, what is their? What would have been nice is, hey guys, we plan on doing this. To do this and to execute this properly, we need to do this and turn the trading or the selling off for certain, do whatever they need to do. But because they give no information, it just kind of looks like they're giving the middle finger to everybody. If they would have said, hey, we want to implement this cool thing. We want to implement cool thing A, but to implement cool thing A, we need to get rid of thing B. So you decide, oh, you know what, that is, thing A is really, really cool. I really like that. Okay, that's fine. We can give up thing B because thing A is going to be really awesome. But when they just take thing B away and don't mention what the reason is behind it.
Yeah, don't give the reason.
Or what it's going to help.
I'm afraid that the reason is going to be, oh, well, we see that we're going to make more money by not doing this. You know, or we're going to encourage people to get new skins, which is still making more money, by getting rid of the trading of the old skins. Or they want people dealing in crates so that they don't know what skin they're going to get, which encourages more crate purchases and people holding onto crates,
now,
not opening the crates.
If I can inject my two cents here, I have a feeling this has something to do with the recent CSGO and the CSGO Lotto and all these CSGO gambling sites that are now, most of them are getting class action lawsuits filed against them. I've been following it very, very closely. There's a lot of people that are going to be in some deep,
now,
deep.
Okay, so personal
stuff.
Opinion though, because you've done more of the CS:GO and everything than I have.
I have not actually. I played it once on the game of the week. I've been following the whole CS:GO thing. I've never played CS:GO besides the game of the week that we played.
Okay, so I look at CS:GO, and if you look like Steam and Valve have been pushing the whole concept of selling skins and having it be kind of like a gambling setup. Like, that's what they do.
So they don't.
And that's kind of what Daybreak is doing with the whole crate system. Yeah. It's a gambling system.
So this is where the issue comes in. Valve has known that this stuff is going on. They allow these third-party CSGO gambling sites to, because you have to authenticate through your Twitch. You have to use your Steam API account, obviously, so it can access your items. So Valve knew this was happening and didn't do anything to stop it. So now people say, hey, you know, maybe we're going to sue Valve now because they knew this was happening. They didn't do anything. This could be Daybreak trying to do that, but nobody's gambling H1Z1 skins because they suck. They're all garbage. Nobody wants them.
Yeah.
I mean, there's not an issue with that.
They create that the rarity.
Yeah.
And plus, this is just hurting it because people are going to be nervous to really invest in skins now. Like the guy who he got a ton of a certain shirt because he viewed it as kind of an investment that once they weren't around as much anymore, he was going to sell them all.
I'm sorry, but if somebody honestly thought that they were making an investment into a skin on H1Z1, why don't you go throw some money in the S&P 500? Because I can assure you that that was not a smart investment opportunity.
Well, you know, he was investing in 500 of a certain shirt because he figured...
Hopefully he doesn't listen to this show because...
Well, and that's the thing is, like, now he's getting nothing for those 500 shirts. Why do you want 500 shirts in your inventory?
I want 500 red trucker hats. That's what I'm all. That's what I'm about. All the red trucker hats for days.
Okay, so here's a rant of mine. Just a stupid little thing that makes no sense to me. Daybreak, if you are listening, please, one thing. Let me.
They've already turned it off. They're not listening.
Yeah, I know they turned it off. Let me put favorites on my skin list. If there's something that I skin all the time, let me put a little star on it that makes it show up on the top of my list so that I can quickly skin my things without having to scroll down a huge list to find that one shirt that I put on every single time when I do a BR. Well, makes no sense. It'd be so simple to do UI-wise.
And this is another thing that Hanny says, and he says... I don't remember if it was in his first post or his second post. He says a lot of people use second Steam accounts to do inventory management, which I didn't realize, Brian. You could essentially trade all of the skins you don't use to your second account so that you only have like six skins, and it's the six skins you use. But now all of those skins, you know, the 100 or so other skins you may have are locked to this other account that, again, may not even own H1Z1.
Yeah, I might not have a copy of the game.
We do have an account with a copy of the game, I believe. We have an extra account with a copy of the game.
Yeah, but... we have our old builder account.
Yeah, we do have old H1Z1 account.
So we have an account that's all by itself doing nothing that I'd have to even log in to check to see what's going on.
I don't even know what I'd have to go and find the login. But I guess that was that's a thing that people were doing. Because he wanted to people were doing that because there was no he said a lack of I don't remember where he
wrote it. Tools or whatever.
But he said he said that the lack of inventory management. People use a second account to trade items you have to do management by creating a second Steam account and transferring items over to it so that you can essentially make a favorite system.
I think it makes me nervous. Like you don't really want. And I never understood people who would pay like $100 for a skin.
Yeah.
That's not me. But this really makes you kind of get nervous about really doing anything because. They take so little thought into just making one thing go one way or the other. And they don't notify anybody. So I'm sure there's a lot of people that this has negatively impacted. And it's just Daybreak's. And if you look, like the comments that Daybreak put on this, like everybody downvoted. They don't even show their comments because everybody's downvoted anything they say in this whole thread. It's frustrating to me, and I wish that they would learn from their past mistakes. And there's just seems like many times in things like this where they just make a change because someone on their team said, "Oh, we should do something this way."
Yeah,
and they just do it. Like, can maybe put the feelers out. Like, say, "Hey, we're planning on doing this on Reddit." You'll get feedback, whether it's right feedback or not.
Instead, what they
did. But imagine if they would have said this a week beforehand and said, hey, here's what we're looking at doing.
Instead, what they did is they put a Steam community notification out on July 22nd saying on July 25th, we're doing this. So they gave people less than 3 days to...
Yeah, and I didn't even see it till the 25th.
Yeah, I mean, it was a Steam Just Survive news announcement, which, you know, of course, what a great way to... I mean, how about an email? I mean, they've got our freaking emails. Because we have Daybreak accounts. How about an email? Hey.
Well, it would have been noticed if they would put a Reddit notification out.
I don't even think there may have been.
I never saw a Reddit notification.
I didn't see an actual post on Reddit about it. I saw
people
posting.
People reacting to things happening on it. But they never posted on Reddit that this was going to happen. Like, they would have got the community at least saying something.
Too bad it would have been, 3 days too late. But, so there you go. That's the H1Z1 drama of the week.
Here's one more thing. And this was actually, I think Gravity Beard had mentioned this, that, they put a thing in there saying save Ranchito. And one of the developers replied back, saved. So I don't know if they decided to not change the name.
I really hope so, because it doesn't make
Ranchito's
sense.
Ranchito's Keto.
That didn't make sense for them to change the name of the city after everybody already knows
All right, so yeah, it says... as mentioned in the H1Z1 live stream earlier today, so this was 5 days ago, so this passed, and I didn't catch it because I actually watched that. The town of Ranchito will survive the Z2 transition.
Okay.
So they are going to keep it as Ranchito with the correct spelling. So that's one thing positive out of all this, of them just making a change. And then who knows, maybe something with the skins will change too, because they react to the negative publicity rather than asking beforehand. And then if you're interested, I figured I'd put this up here. If you're interested in a job at Daybreak, if you want to be brutalized constantly by people like us.
Well, they are doing that college program. I think I believe they're still doing that college program as well.
Girls, yeah.
What was it called? It was called Girls.
Yeah, girls or something like that. It's for anybody, not just girls.
Yeah, likely story. So there's that as well.
PR. But yeah, they have a number like programmers, artists.
Falcon's actually asking if there's a PR job open. I don't think so. I didn't see.
Yeah, marketing and PR. They have a brand manager.
But is that for H1Z? But it's not for
marketing.
Is it for H1Z1 though? I thought it was for DC Universe. I thought I saw it for.
I don't see on here where it says just marketing. It's just the marketing department. And so I don't see it.
So it's not listed. It's not to a specific game.
Yeah, and so they have
senior product H1Z1 game. H1Z1.
Yeah, marketing. And then they have brand manager, marketing and PR is the
nice.
So yeah, so if you're interested in getting in there, they have programmer jobs, IT jobs.
And you can live in beautiful...
They have one unannounced title, which they're
hiring. That's either beautiful San Diego or Austin, Tejas.
Austin, Texas.
Yeah, yep. Austin, Tejas. There you go. So that's H1Z1 for the week. We'll keep following that. And maybe I'll try to get up with Hanny this week and... Get his
feedback on it.
Yeah, get his opinion on it, maybe. So I'm going to write myself a note and try to do that this week because I think that would be interesting.
And he's in our Discord.
Yeah, because he runs a website that does all of this
purely science. Dedicated to this.
Well, and it's not just H1Z1; it's a lot of other things too. So he is, and now all of his customers are just kind of like, hey, now all of his customers' items are stuck in his. Serve on his platform
skins that people view as having value of hundreds of dollars
stuck now could potentially be stuck on his account and not tradable. So now now what does he do? He's got to tell all of his people, sorry, you'd have lost out on your $400 skin anymore. Yeah, exactly, your skins are gone. That's a real issue. So I'll try to do that this week and we'll bring it to you next week maybe. So
our ARK news is going to be really quick.
Let's hit it, Brian, real quick.
So 244.74, which was released on the 19th.
Let's hear it.
And its official notes are no official patch notes were published for this version. So
that's
a first. The update.
Hold on. That's significant. That is a first. They literally will do, they will include one line in a patch note. They included nothing. That's not good.
Yeah, they didn't even put what it was.
It's in italics.
It's some sort of a patch. Yeah. Now, they are on the 28th, which is in 2 days from now. They are doing a huge thing, so I assume they're just kind of waiting because they have such a big release coming. That's where they're releasing the center mega update, Primitive Plus, and all that. We've talked about this the last couple of weeks, but they are releasing a very big update in the next 2 days.
Yeah.
So we'll just have to see. And I'm going to have to kind of run it by our group because I know people have been playing, are still playing on our ARK server. Currently, if they're okay with maybe doing the center or, you know, the center with Primitive Plus, that'd be kind of fun. If we even just save and pause the current one and start up a new one and have people play that for a couple weeks.
Yeah, that might be a good idea.
So, but I'll mention to people not to pull a Daybreak and I'll run it by them.
Shut
first.
It off and wipe it.
No, just shut to. It off and say, hey, it's done. Sorry, all the work you put in the last couple months. So, all right. So, now, do we want to start a game giveaway, or do we want to go ahead and go through this next game first?
Let's start the game giveaway on our brand new system that we're going to try out this week. So we're using
we have a new system. We're using MooBot just to have it. You know, we'll see how it goes. But in this way, I don't have to enter, so I can't possibly win. But if you put exclamation point raffle, I'm not going to type it in because then it'll put me in the raffle and then people will say it's rigged. But if you exclamation point raffle in there, it will enter you for a game. And I'm going to go ahead and I think what I was going to do is Mafia 2. I kind of ran this by you last week. Is that a cool game to do for this one?
Let's do it.
All right. So we will do, let me make sure this is the right one. No, I think we did last. No, so this is actually the Bureau.
We did Mafia 2
last week. I just want to make sure I did the right one. This week is going to be the Bureau XCOM Declassified. It's available on Steam. It looks like a really fun game. I have it, but I've not really played it. But it's right now about $20 on Steam. And I'll have a link here if you want to check it out. The graphics look really good on it. But yeah, exclamation point raffle, and then we'll test this out. Hopefully everything doesn't just go wrong.
Yes, that would be helpful.
Yeah. So so we'll give this a few minutes. And I don't know. I hopefully it's working.
Yeah. There you go. We'll keep you up to date.
It seems to be pulling names in, so I can't really check on the progress of it. So we'll just try it in a couple minutes and see if it rolls. If it doesn't, then we'll redo it.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. So that's another reason that you should be here live instead of watching.
Yeah, if you're listening,
exactly.
Because I know a lot of people watch the YouTube videos after the fact. They also listen in their cars or whatever. I understand that. But if you have a chance to listen live, if you're around on Tuesday nights, join our Steam group. If you're not getting notifications, if you happen to be at your computer and you're a member of our Steam group, you will get a notification that pops up before the show saying, hey, come watch the show live, and you'll have a chance to win these things.
Yeah, exactly.
Very good. So, that's pretty much ARK. Now, one game that I've really enjoyed that put a patch out recently, we really need to put into one of our upcoming game nights, and I'm sure it is The Forest. Nick and I have played this a bit.
Yes. There's some issues with The Forest in terms of how many people can play.
Yes, it's a smaller group of people.
And it's hosted on the person server, so if like the person hosting it is the first to leave, or if they alt-tab out of the game, the whole server stops responding. I don't think it's going to make a good game for a game night, unfortunately.
Yeah, we just need to get it to where we just kind of have some people play it so that we can go through, because there is a lot to it. Like when you and I played it, we got pretty far and it was a lot of fun. And you'll find areas that you haven't seen before. Like when you and I played, I had not even gone through the cave system, and we found a huge amount of cave system.
Yeah. Actually, my dead body, I still got to go grab.
Your body is still sitting in that cave.
Yeah.
So, all right. So, I do see in our thing, it says added one more user to the raffle.
Okay,
so
cool.
It's putting notifications out that it's adding people to the raffle. So that's good.
Okay, cool.
All right. So, now they added camping garbage and, audio fixes and just all kinds of things in this patch. This is 0.43 change log, and this came out on the 20th, so 6 days ago. But it looks like a lot of fixes and just game improvements. One thing they did is they revamped the procedural wall autofill, so like for roofs and things like that. So they're making the craft. So that's one thing that I'm always big about, like the building system. They are tweaking that. I hate it when a game puts out like a building system and then they never touch it again because they just put the checkbox, the checkbox next to has a building system. This one has a pretty fun building system. It looks really cool. And that's where I'd like to get a group of people together so we can make a really cool building.
Yeah.
Because it works so well. So they are working on that. They're working on some of the multiplayer things. They had a lot of multiplayer fixes, like reducing jerkiness and squirrel animations, and player slowly rotating to the side and just upside down when using chat box while swimming. Little weird things like that.
Just little odds and end things that people enough people have to be playing your game to actually like, oh, hey, this is an issue that people are having.
So this is probably a list of things that have just been on their issue tracker. Like they put out a patch when they got enough of them done. This is a pretty big list of just a lot of little things. So, that was 0.43, and we'll have a full list of that, a link to it on the website. One thing they did is they have a couple new items. They have a new craftable item, a stick bag. So it increases your carry capacity by 10. And then a rock bag, which increases, and that's a stick. So it'll increase your stick carrying inventory, and they have one that'll increase your rock carrying inventory.
Yeah.
So you can make specific bags. So like you have holders that you can put wood in and stones in and all. Like they, it's very much a gathering of specific materials, and because you're trying to build one certain thing, like this, so they have things to help with that, because you can only carry so much. So, all right, so that, yeah, that was 0.43. And then they put out a couple quick hot fixes right after that, things mm-hmm. I think that they noticed broke because of this.
It's broke.
Yeah, so they fixed the amount bonus from the fixed max amount bonus from having stick or rock bag in inventory, stacking each time a save game is loaded. So that was just something that when you were saving the games, it kind of broke it from having those items. And then that was 0.43B, and then 0.43C, they put a fix for toggling between autofill and manual placement of walls, floors, and roofs is now done with a simple press of the craft button instead of having to hold it. So, yeah, so this was just something when you were building, and it says fixes issue with other triggers breaking the toggling, such as drink trigger when building over a lake. So, because you would go to build and like it would bring up the do you want to drink water trigger instead.
Triggered.
So, yeah, it would make people triggered more than they want to be.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So again, we had I'm not gonna speak for you. I had fun playing it. It's just that it's so like I feel like it's a multiplayer game that you can only play single player with, because if you play you don't want to be waiting on somebody else to play. Like, I don't want to wait on Brian.
It has to be one where you say, all right, we're gonna play this today.
But that's the issue. It's like, and at that point you might as well just play alone.
Because and if I'm not on there, like because it's being hosted on my computer, like if I'm not on there, you can't play.
That's what
like,
I'm saying. It's a multi it's a game that it's a game that has multiplayer where it discourages multiplayer and promotes only doing single player. I want to play a game when I want to play a game. I don't want to have to revolve around Brian's schedule to go on and play. That's very, very, that's inconvenient for him, and it's inconvenient for me. And God forbid you add three more people to the loop, then it's, you know, or two more. It supports eight players, I believe, on the multiplayer, including the host. So it's eight, you know, seven and one other person being the host. That's not, you are never going to get eight people together at the exact same time, you know, always to play. So,
yeah, and that's the thing also
it's a real issue.
Getting everybody the same group. It's kind of like we were into the same thing with board games. Like, yeah, we have these board games we want to play and one guy owns it. Yeah. And so it's like we'll play a game halfway through and it's like, all right, well, we got to schedule some time to finish this game. That like never happens.
Yeah. Because the guy that owns
you
it,
get everybody. Exactly. You don't get all six people on back. The right schedule to have that exact group again.
Exactly. That's the issue. I can't imagine that the development team, I mean, like Arc, you can host it like on your computer. You can host an Arc server that plays from your client, but you can also host a dedicated server. They need to add a dedicated server to this game. I don't know if it's possible, but there needs to be one, because this game is never going to take off. This game will never take off if there's no multiplayer.
Yeah.
Which essentially there is. They've essentially created an environment where multiplayer is discouraged.
Yep.
So that's what's going
on. So we'll see. I mean, it is a fun game, and I think if we could just as a one time, like, hey, we're just going to play this for a couple hours.
Yeah.
And let's just see what we can do. And that and just don't expect anything beyond that.
Exactly. Because Brian and I played it once for probably 2 hours, and I was sick, and I was like, I'm going to bed. And we haven't even. Neither of us have even launched
it
or even trying to like get up with each other to play. Like Brian's never sent me a message like, hey, Nick, you down to play? I'm like, and I haven't sent him one either. Cause it's just,
yeah. I don't care. If we're going to be doing it, like we'd be starting a new one just to see where we
exactly.
can go.
So, there is, let's see, you just did the first one, right? There's still,
no, I did the B and C. Yeah. There was no A, like it was 4.43B.
That threw me off a little bit.
Yep.
So yeah, there you go. That's the forest. How much? I gotta check it out though. How much is it?
Let me see.
We got it for free.
Sale.
it's $15. So that is.
Well, we paid for it, but
that's
kind of been the price. Yeah, we got it in a Humble Bundle, which was kind of like the extra game in a Humble Bundle, which was a nice surprise.
So this is what I'm thinking. For $15, you're essentially getting a single player game. which is not bad.
Yeah. And it's a fun game. Like, there's a lot to it.
I mean, you look at a game like Firewatch, that was $20. So you're essentially getting a single-player game at this point. Maybe in the future they add a multiplayer dedicated.
If they added a permanent server to it, that would make a huge difference for this game. Problem is you have to host it, and it's just it's not easy to just. I could just throw a server up and
but
have it
even
up there.
If you could just host, like, on your computer, you can host a dedicated, like, an Arc. You could host an Arc server on your computer
without it having to be launched.
Exactly, it's a CMD window. It runs the server. I mean, it's a process. Yeah. But they don't even have that. Brian left to go get a drink, and he alt-tabbed out of the game.
I alt-tabbed out, and the game froze.
It froze my end of the... completely froze the server. That is not multiplayer. I'm sorry. You can't say that's got a multiplayer.
I alt-tab out, and like, he was like, what happened? The game stopped. I'm like, I alt-tabbed out to, like,
check
go to
Skype.
Another browser window.
Exactly.
Yeah. And the whole thing stopped.
Yeah, that's not good. That doesn't work. So, we'll see. I just, you know, that's... Come on, really? Like, that's your definition of multiplayer? Give me a break. That just really irks me for whatever reason. Damn. So, I guess we could try and do our raffle. Do you know how do you pick a winner?
Yeah, so I'm logged into the webpage.
Okay.
So
I guess.
All right.
Go
so
ahead.
I'm going to do a draw. All right, Gravity Beard. So now, and then I have a button here. I can say announce the winner in chat.
Oh, okay.
So that has announced it.
So it's as rigged as it was before. Just glad.
Yes. I can't. Moobot is picking people who regularly listen to our show.
Just as corrupt as it was before. We move system, it's still corrupt.
And is it Gravity who actually takes off work and?
Yeah, who gets really pissed at me on Twitter when I have limited internet and can't do the show at the time we normally do it at.
So. Yeah, he sets his work schedule over in Germany around the time that our show is going to be. So I guess that's dedication. So he deserves
a game every once in a while.
Yes.
What game was it? That wasn't Mafia. It was
No, this was the Bureau, XCOM Declassified.
Cool.
And I'll be sending you a Humble Bundle gift link.
Yes.
So enjoy the game.
Now, another thing, kind of survival game wise, this is a game that Brian and I have purchased, but he's played it a little more than I have, but neither of us have played it a lot. I know Felicia has got like 120-something hours on this game. This is Fallout 4, and they're constantly releasing this new DLC. And this time, we now have the Fallout 4 Vault-Tec Workshop, which essentially takes that Vault-Tec game, the Pip-Boy, or not the Pip-Boy, the Vault game that they released for iOS and Android last year, and brings it essentially into the game. It allows you to create a vault and use it as a settlement. You can take a vault and classify it as a settlement. And if you look at some of the pictures, it looks just... It's a higher quality 3D version of the Vault-Tec mobile, or the Vault mobile game. You've got a bunch of different rooms. Everything is segmented off. This, I guess, is supposed to add a lot of stuff to the game, but the interesting thing to look at is there's 532 reviews, and only 40% of them are positive. So I'm just going to pick this top review that popped up. So this guy says the positives are it allows you to build vaults, new workshop items, experiment on settlers. You can do experiments on settlers. You can use the new items from the vault in other settlements, which is cool. But then his negatives are most of the workshop items are already in a mod. So he's saying some of the stuff, they're essentially incorporating stuff for a mod, which I guess is kind of that's a picky thing.
It's kind of like what Ark does. You're like, Ark gets the best mods and then they implement.
But you can't really complain that, this stuff's already available, but a mod.
But the thing is they're charging for this. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but like, I don't have a problem. You
I have
went
a season
out,
pass, so I don't notice.
But you went out and installed a mod to get those added benefits. I'm not even going to mention that. The caves you are given to build is a joke, according to this person. Very short, forgettable quests. In the end, it's just another settlement. It's another workshop DLC. So he is not impressed. And I guess the general consensus, at least, it's been out a day. That 40% of the people are not impressed. Actually, 60% of the people are not impressed. 40% think it's positive. So,
see, and I only see two other people that have this.
Okay, so I don't know anybody that has it.
My cousin has it, and then Remedy has it.
Yeah, and then this next guy releases one that's interesting, and he says Maybe they could release a workshop that would let me build a DLC worth a damn. So I guess they're not happy with the... I wonder if... I don't have this. I don't have
someone else
DLC.
Put this game is having a serious identity crisis. They're kind of getting away with what people love about Fallout. You know, I feel like
because they included so much stuff in the main game.
Yeah, and that's the thing is people love the add-ons just to make the game whatever they want it to be. But the problem is, I think that they're trying to be like, oh, well, we could sell some of that stuff, or we could, you know, that can be, you don't need to make it a main part of the game. Like unless it's doing something that is really difficult to do in the form of an add-on or, you know, a mod.
Yeah.
And that's kind of, I think, what Ark has done, you know, and they are doing things that just wouldn't be achievable. Like if you were doing this in the previous Fallouts, it would be just one of the things that are in the world. Like,
yeah,
you would be putting a gate on it.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Like, and claiming it's yours.
So, yeah,
this you supposedly do have. So there is some advanced functionality.
But this is where I have the issue. People know what they're getting. And here's the thing. If you bought the season pass, that was, what, $30? You really can't complain about, like, oh, it doesn't add enough. Like, come on, you're getting, like, eight DLCs for $30 or
well,
something.
Maybe we're just spoiled. Like, that's the thing, is, like, this is a huge amount of game, and, like, they've made some cool functionality. You know, this is a big game. You know, are we expecting too much?
Yes. I mean, they released a $60 title. You got a $30 DLC. They're releasing a bunch of stuff. Some is going to stick. Some is not. But... I mean, I would know. This is, by the way, $5 for this add-on. It's not like it's a $40, $50 add-on. $5 for this add-on. I wouldn't... If I wasn't interested in the vault system, I wouldn't buy it. I mean, that's kind of simple. I mean, that's just kind of how I'm seeing it. That's how I see it. Like, I wouldn't be interested in playing the iPhone game in Fallout 4, which it's not, I know that's not the whole thing, but that seems like it's a big chunk of it. So who knows?
Well, and I, that's the thing. What I liked the most about the previous Fallouts was the wandering around and kind of finding things. Right.
Yeah.
And I feel like all these add-ons have been less about that and more about, hey, let's make your dwelling really cool. Or let's build something in your dwelling. Everything's been trying to focus around that one area that previously that's not what Fallout was for me. Not what I enjoyed about it. But they're trying to create some whole other thing rather than saying, you know, let's make stuff that lets you discover more of the world or makes the world seem bigger. Like, that's what I would want to see, because I want to be able to run around and not feel like there's those limits.
Yeah.
And this is all about, like, I played and I just haven't enjoyed trying to make all these things at my base.
But like, to be fair, you only have like what? 20 hours playtime, 15? Or do you have more than that?
I've got 41.1 hours.
Wow. I thought you were at like 10 or 15 still.
No,
okay,
no.
So like, you've got a significant amount of time. Then my point doesn't matter then. Never mind.
Yeah, so I mean, that's the thing, is I've really been trying to make myself get into it, but they're not pulling me out of the into the world enough. Like, I wanted to feel like I'm discovering something new. And the thing is I kind of got stuck in a quest that like had me underground for so long that I just feel like I've been in like this tunnel of here's what you have to do, you know, get to the end.
Yeah.
And I haven't had that exploring feel that I felt in the other one. So maybe I'm just not, maybe I need to go a little bit farther, because I got out of that, you know, working with the detective and going through that whole storyline. I don't know. I don't feel like I'm wandering around enough, which is what Fallout is to me.
Exactly. So that's Fallout. You can get it for $5, or you could buy the season pass for Fallout for $50, and you'll get all the DLC that was already out, this one, and then everything that's coming after it. So got a few options available there. The Solus Project, Brian.
So this is one that I purchased a couple of weeks ago.
Yes. I think you've talked about it almost every week since the thing.
Yeah, a couple weeks
been
in
doing
a row.
Stuff, yeah. So what's going
on?
So
this is 1.02. This was one that came out on the 20th. So it was right after last week's show. Uh-huh. And so they're incorporating a lot of VR into this. That seems to be the new thing. The major game engines are really putting in tools for VR. And so companies that are using recent versions of engines, you know, and are fairly up to date and actually continuing to put out updates are really finding it easy to incorporate the VR aspect. So this one, they did do some general fixes. You know, it's a game that I think is fairly new. But if you look at the second link, they actually have a screenshot, and I put that in there as a VR example. You kind of see how it works. Like, they show you working through your inventory system with VR, going through with your data pad, it's or your PDA.
Oh, that's kind of yeah. that's weird, man.
So yeah, like you put your hand up, and it's like it brings up your PDA, and then you point at it, and you're actually able to go through the menu system with the VR controllers. So yeah, so I mean, we'll just have to see this game. I need to get in there and play it some more, because I barely started on, like, I'm trying to break out into the main world, and it's not one that just lets you instantly be out in the open. You kind of have to work your way through a story to get there. So, but this update was mostly VR. Like, almost everything on it was changing things for VR, and then some language fixes. So if you've been playing it, you don't have VR, you're probably not going to notice a huge amount of change with this patch. So, but yeah, this is a Solace Project. It is available on the Steam Marketplace for, let's see, $19.99. And this was recommended to me, I think, by Gravity Beard.
Man, he's got some good recommendations and some bad ones, I guess.
Yeah. The recent ratings on this one's mostly positive. Overall, is very positive.
It's good.
So definitely check it out. I got it with the bundle during one of the sales they had. So.
Cool.
But yeah, that is Solace Project. Now, Hurt World put out an update. And this one, it's kind of hard to see what, because they put in not only what they update, but they put in things that they're looking at doing.
Yeah.
Kind of like what we ran into last week with, oh, here's some stuff we're looking at putting in. This doesn't mean that it's actually in there. But yeah, they're looking at putting in those dirt bikes. They are putting in, they put in like work, I don't know, they put in like shirts and things, but I don't think these are actually out yet. These are things that aren't into the game, because these are all just test ones.
So they're showing concept of what?
Some of it is stuff they've implemented and some of it's content, but they don't put a change log.
So it's kind of hard. You have to actually be paying attention and playing to know.
Yeah. And so they put in here stuff that we're looking at. They're reworking some things with like the vehicle system, but they don't say what they've actually changed. So that's kind of a weird thing. So most of this, I think, is them saying, here's what we're going to have in a future update. Gotcha. But if you want to check that out, then we'll have a link to that. This is their, this is their Hurt World update number 41, but this is not an actual patch. This is just things that we're looking at, putting into the game. They kind of do it the way that I think it's Rust that does it this way, to where they have, or maybe it was Date. No, it's Rust, I think, where they go through and just have each of the developers for that department kind of like give an update, like a blog post. That's what this is. So some of them are going to be saying, here's what we're putting in. Here's some of them saying, here's what we're looking at putting in.
Yeah. So yeah, if you're really interested in Hurt World, you can go and there'll be a link on the website, infectionpodcast.com, to get all of that updated information if you're actively following that, of course.
Yeah. So anyways, we'll have a link to that. Hurt World, they put in an update, so I figured we might as well mention it.
Cool,
yeah. Now, Unturned, who actually puts out only stuff when they're doing updates,
which is good.
They actually say what they, here's what we did. So 3.15.1.10.0, they added acid spitter zombies.
Okay.
They added supply airdrops.
Oh, nice.
So you can now repair bases with a blowtorch. And it said added friendly/hostile sentry. So I assume those are people that you'll come across to fight.
No, sentry, I would imagine that's sentry turrets, which would be a maybe. Yeah. I don't know.
They put like what the IDs are, so I assume if you're going to spawn them in as an admin.
Yeah. I don't know. They could be either way, but some type of I don't know. Every time I've heard the word sentry used like that, it tends to be a turret. But it does say friendly and hostile, which would indicate some type of NPC or something.
Yeah, so that's a good question. So
we should have done our research, but then again, it's, I don't know.
Turrets.
Yeah, it's turrets or some type of player, but yeah.
Yep. So those are out in the game. And then they just merely did fixes after that. So they did some improvements and fixes. No. Okay. So the new friendly sentries can be used to create a safe public space because they only shoot players who pose a threat for example, having a weapon drawn.
So it is actually, so it's a turret.
Yeah. So, gotcha. So, well, it could be even like a military, like a person that's doing the same thing as a turret. So, on the opposite end of the spectrum, the hostile sentry is much better than the neutral one for interior base defense because it is absolutely merciless.
It's definitely a sentry. It's definitely a turret. Okay. It's gotta be.
So yeah, so that's what that is. And then how do we say this, but this is like a full out survival game. It just looks like
it's so weird though. And it's free, by the way, which I don't think a lot of people pay attention to. It's free. And the pro upgrade is $5, which I purchased.
It's just, if they could just tweak the graphics, like I just have a hard time getting past the graphics on it.
It's kind of Minecrafty. It doesn't bother me. It's just,
than Minecraft.
Yes, it's like, it is
even less.
But I think that's Minecraft. I mean, here's the thing. There's so many survival games, and they all look into the same thing. The graphics of that game differentiate it from every other survival game that's out there right now. That's kind of how I see it. He's trying to be different. The guy, and it was
when he was a little kid. So this was probably
16-year-old. He's a little kid. Come on, give me a break.
Okay, you know what I'm saying.
Old man over here. So old man Aldridge saying, "Oh, 16-year-old is a little baby."
Well, yeah, 16. So yeah, he's actually your age.
Yes, he is. Yeah. And look at him. Yeah, I'm doing a stupid podcast. I'm doing a stupid podcast.
So 2 years ago, he was 16.
Yeah. I'm sitting here doing this stupid podcast, and he's over here making bank on this video game.
That he's at $5 a pop.
$5 a key, yeah. Look who made the right choice and look who made the wrong choice.
Yeah.
So that's
okay. So one thing I wanted to show, if you go to the Steam page for this, and I'll put a link in our...
For Unturned or for the thing?
Yeah, go to Unturned.
Yep.
And then scroll down to the items page? Available for this game. Yes.
Oh, okay. Oh, yes. Okay.
Look at the gun skins.
Yeah.
I think I know where Daybreak has been looking to figure out what they need to do for this game. Up.
Here we go. This will work. Yeah. Yeah. But that totally fits this game because it's a cartoon, like, it's a cartoon.
But I think Daybreak's game. Like, okay, so this game, what's the most highly downloaded survival game
why is Daybreak stoned when they're having this conversation?
Well, you know what I'm saying. Well, because they're California, it's legal.
Hey
there.
Man, what kind
you know
of game?
Like, they're like, okay, so let's do what the most highly downloaded survival game on the internet does, and this is what they do.
But now let me tell you something here, Brian. Let me learn you something.
Okay.
These models look like crap, but that's the style of the game, so it fits. Look at the jagged edges on this gun. But it doesn't matter, because that's the style. That's how it's supposed to look, and that's how it does look. He has done, and I played this game probably in early to mid-2014, right when it came out. I had a few friends that were really interested in it. Since the start, he's done exactly what he needs to do for this game. Everything is in line. He's constantly adding new stuff to it. And it's free. Did I mention that? It's free. Hello, hello, hello. It's free. There's no cost. Yep. Just download it. So that's on.
Yeah, and like he's added, like there's clouds and there's a lot.
That's the real
deal.
All
the stuff is there. It just looks, you know, this is just the look of the game.
Yeah, it's a it's a very low graphic, high opportunity game. That's how I see it. So there you go.
Yeah, so you're more than welcome. Free to play, early access, zombie survival, Unturned. You can go download it.
It's hard too. It's not easy.
It's a hard game to play.
It is hard. There you go.
All right, so now Rust, which is another similar thing to what we just went through. They put in here not only things that they're doing. This is each of the developers kind of does their own little blog.
Yes, this is common. The next game actually does the same thing too. I like this.
So, like, they go through and they talk about the XP system changes that they did. Remember, they said if you craft something, now they're putting in there, like, in the upper right corner, if you craft this, you'll get this much XP from making this item. Someone was telling me that now high level people are running around new areas just handing out free things, because if people use those things, they will
get XP,
From all the new people, like
trickle
down
trees. XP. That's that's what we call it. That's essentially what's happening. And Killcam, who turned us on, who's a big Rust player, turned us on to this a few weeks ago and said, this is a big change for the game. I don't play it. Brian doesn't play it. We are playing it this week. But
I mean, I played it here and there, but like, I just have, it's one of those ones kind of like Ark. It's not a fun game to just, I'm going to go play this for 15 minutes because your character is always going to be dead and never have
exactly.
anything.
Exactly. So that, so from everything we've heard across Reddit, from Killcam, who we know, this is a big thing, because I guess the XP was a hard thing to cut. You really had to grind to get XP, and this makes it a little more easier to I want to say farm, but you're not really farming it. You're crafting the items, but either way, that's what's going on. So that's good stuff.
Yep. And so that one thing they've done too, is they've been improving the graphics. You know, they've been trying to just make it a more efficient game. One thing they did in this patch is they've optimized the bloom, so it's about 30% faster. They've been working on the shaders and everything, just trying to make it, because it can be a pretty graphic intensive game. And with having more items and more detail on items, like, that makes a big impact on the frame rate of the game. So if they can get anything more out of this, you know, that makes it so that they can put either more items in or more detail on items. So it just makes it a better looking game. So, so they have it now to where, like with water reflections, you can actually adjust the quality of the water reflections. So that's in the settings, the graphics quality settings now. One thing they've done is music is in now. So they put in there, it says the music is disabled by default, but you can go in, type music.enabled(1) in your console, and it'll enable music.
Why don't they just put a checkbox?
I think they'll be doing that. It says, well, they're enabling it by default next week. I don't know why they just didn't have a checkbox in the settings. That would be the easier thing to do.
Yeah. Hey, why don't you go in and type, go into your app data and find the user info.any and go in there and modify it. Make sure game's not open while you're doing it. And then you go, you got music in the game, or add a checkbox.
Yeah.
But those are the two options. So,
and now one thing about this, we'll have a link to it. This is Devlog 119, and they have a nice then change log, is one thing they've been doing recently. At the very bottom, it actually has a real change log that goes through and lists what has been changed. So, yes. So you can go through, because as I was talking about before, a lot of those things they're talking about aren't actual changes in the game. They're either concept art or something like that. So that way you can see, like for instance, the laser sight unlocks at 24 instead of 25. You know, that's a change they didn't talk about in the blog, but it's a change in the game. So a neck shot is no longer considered a headshot, like little things like that. So if you're really into Rust, we'll have a link to that so you can go through and see what the changes are. Maybe it'll make some more sense to maybe something that's happening in the game as you play it. So, and the default water, so the default water quality is set to 1. So if you want to have a higher quality water, you know, when you go in there, you have to go in the settings to do that. Like, they started out at level 1.
Yeah. So, next here we got DayZ, and they kind of do the similar thing to Rust, where they've got they have each of the developers do a little thing. Normally Hicks, who is the one that does like a lot of the main development, his is normally
who was in here a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, Hicks is normally the one who's got a lot of the good stuff to read. So these first three things were on hotfix. They've been hotfixed to stable. So the first thing is the character gear loss on reconnect. So if you left and then reconnected, you could possibly lose your loot. That's been fixed there. Tent lifetime refresh. So the lifetime of the tent was refreshed, and then the position/orientation of the tent. All three of those things were hotfixed, and they've been pushed to stable. The next two things. Our vehicle position orientation, that's in test, and so is the animation/sync issues. That's in test as well. Now, 0.61, which is kind of the update that has brought a lot of life back to this game, here are a few things that they're working on, and these are the milestones of 0.61. First thing is the server login queue, which is a big deal, especially with this. Login queues have always been an issue with DayZ, even from the Arma 2 mod. The next thing is merging of new audio technology from the Arma 3 engine, which is really cool as well. And some other random things, like, you know, they're working on dynamic spawning of the infected, and then, you know, changing how that works. And then the predators or wolves, adding that kind of AI and making sure that works properly in offline mode and all that stuff. So they're always working on some cool stuff there. But, you know, they've got some goals for 6-1. And, you know, from what we've seen, Brian, you weren't there the night we played, I don't think. But
no, I was. Yeah, I was gone.
It was.
I don't have the game. So
yeah, you actually don't have the game. If it was if the game was a little, if I remember the controls of the game, I would have had a little better time, but I did not. So that was unfortunate for me, but that's DayZ.
Cool. Yeah. And that eventually I'll have to put it on my list for like the next time it's on sale.
Yeah.
Because for so long it was like, oh, they're not doing anything with it, I'm not going to buy it. And now that they're actually working on it, it would be worth it for me to get into it. So
yeah.
So there's another announcement that No Man's Sky release for PC has been delayed by 3 days. So this was on the 26th today, and they announced that No Man's Sky is going to be delayed a little bit longer. So, and this is the one where the developer got death threats because of
literally death threats. Yeah.
Yeah. Initially announcing that this game was going to be delayed. There's so much hype around this game.
And this is that's unfortunate. There is so much hype that the only, I'm sorry, here's welcome back to Mr. Pessimist Hour. There is absolutely no way, Brian, this game can possibly hold up to its expectations. There is not a chance in hell that this game can hold up to its expectations. The hype is, there has been more hype, I think, on this game than there was on Fallout 4. There is so much hype. So it got delayed.
And that's the thing is I understand that it's going to be, you know, should be a cool game, but I haven't personally seen why there's so much hype. Like, I understand
it's cool.
I like space survival games, but the thing is I've played some other ones that have very similar concepts to them as far as the vastness of the world and everything.
Yeah.
They'd have to deliver on a much more, like, I feel like each world is not auto-generated type of a feel. Like, you'd really have to pull it out. And so I put no expectations on this game. Like, that's one thing I've tried to do is not say, oh, here's what I think it's going to be, because I want it to be a surprise for me. Like, I've not been searching for videos on this to try to see gameplay and everything. You know, and if they release something that just like, man, this is awesome, then, you know, I'll be stoked about it. But I'm trying not to build it up that much beyond like Elite Dangerous or something, because I don't know how much farther they can go than that other than what they make happen on the worlds themselves. You know, like, or if they make just the space flight, like, feel like when you go somewhere. But if it's kind of like an auto thing, because there's only so much, you got to think, in a world that has billions of stars, right? They can't sit there and program out every single one of these worlds. Like, some of it has to be auto. So if they can get that done in a way that feels so natural, they can make it really feel like a huge game without being a huge game. So we'll just have to see what they do. I mean, they've been working on it. So it's going to be August 12th is when it's going to be released on the PC.
So. Yes, and let the impending storm brew, because it is releasing on August 9th in the U.S. on the PS4 on the Xbox, I think. The Xbox and PS4, it's releasing 3 days earlier than it is on PC. So all of the console players are now going to get this game 3 days earlier than the PC players, and we know that PC players can't handle anything and do nothing but complain. So I'm sure we'll have a Twitter hashtag that will be trending, and it's going to be a whole thing because, yeah.
Well, we'll see. Like, after day one, like, they have to have this game so polished when they release, because
it's
going to relieve so much backlash.
Plus, there was some rumors that they were borrowed some type of technology without the proper licensing, and now that somebody's threatening to sue them. So, man, I have no clue what's going on with this. This is all I'm saying. This game may be fantastic. I'm not trying to say this game is not going to be good, but it can't live up to its hype. It is impossible. Yeah. This is kind of like the Independence Day movie, the new Independence Day movie. Didn't live up to its hype. Why?
Yeah.
Because it's a new Independence Day movie. It's not what this is constantly the thing that I talk about. People's first, here's the thing. I say this with Call of Duty. Modern Warfare 2 was the first Call of Duty I really, really played and enjoyed, like with my friends and everything else. That is my favorite Call of Duty, not because it's the best game, but it's because it's the first game that I was able to make those memories with. And obviously this isn't a sequel, but it just can't live up to what it's supposed to be. Nothing ever does. Nothing. When will people learn that?
Now, that's the thing.
The new Jurassic Park sucked. Nobody liked it.
Ridiculous cut scenes about this. You know, I haven't seen a ton of hype as far as actual gameplay. It's all been people getting excited about just the game being released. Not that I've seen, oh, here's what's going to be in the game. Like, I've seen very little on what's actually going to be in the game.
Why don't we go talk about the new Ghostbusters? Talk about how much hype leads up to this stuff. Because, case in point, it's just, nothing can live up to this hype. When you put a game up on a pedestal so high, it will fail every single time. So, I hope that's not the situation.
If it's awesome, like, I'll for sure get it and play it. But
I can't buy this day one. I really wanted to, but I just can't. There's no way I can buy this game day one now.
Well, and I kind of learned my lesson with
the Black Plague or whatever it's called.
Yeah, the Black Death.
Black Death, yeah.
I kind of learned because there was a lot of hype behind that. Oh, look, this is going to be...
Nothing like this game, though.
Yeah.
But then again, this is not early access. This is a AAA, like, real deal release. This is no early access, no green light, no alpha. This is a real deal.
And I would rather have that be what it is, like a full release, because I kind of learned my lesson with that of, man, that game, just there's nothing. Like I bought it thinking, oh, there's going to be so much to do. I'm going to run around. I'm going to play with people. And then, like, I've never run into another person in the game.
Yeah, I can see this turning into, and I'm going to say it, a Titanfall situation.
We'll see. You're calling it. That's your prediction. You need a little notebook.
I need a black book or something to write down all these predictions. Somebody mark that down. I'm not predicting. I'm saying I wouldn't. Yeah, I'm fine. I'm gonna predict.
You gotta predict.
No, I'm predicting that this is predict or not predict. With Judge Brian Aldridge, I'm predicting that this is going to be a Titanfall 1. Because that game, I got screwed into buying that too. Hey, COD killer. It's better than Battlefield. Better than Call of Duty. Played it like 6 times. The game sucked. Nobody else played it. It was awful. Now the same thing. Titanfall 2.
I just listened to you guys talk while you played it, and I was like, I'm not going to.
Yeah, and then Titanfall 2 is the same thing. Everybody's, oh, Titanfall 2. No, it's going to be great. It's going to kill COD. It's going to kill Battlefield. It's not. It's not going to. It's going to be just as bad as the first one. I'm sorry. I'm so sick of these PC people. Every game is like this. Everything is the next. Every game is the best. 98% of the games flop and they just don't learn their lessons. Realistically, bring the game down to the level.
We've gotten to this, it used to be, and so I can pull some of my, like, here's how it used to be back in the day, like, because I was around when PC games first.
Back in my day.
You know what I'm saying? Like, when PC games started, like, I was there, right? You know, I mean, it was a little bit before your time.
I remember a little bit.
I remember my friends and I pooling together and putting in enough money to buy Wolfenstein 3D on floppy disk, right?
Oh, yeah.
I was in, I think, junior high at the time or something, and we all pitched in together and bought Wolfenstein 3D, which I know is illegal, but we were junior hires and that's the money we had.
To share the disk around like that?
Yeah, we had a game catalog.
Oh, so you ordered
it out of the game catalog.
And then did you burn it to a bunch of other floppies or just pass the
disk? Yeah, like, I don't know if we copied it or we just installed it.
Duplicated it.
Yeah, we duplicated it. So that was the early days of PC gaming. And like, there was a title would come out and you would have enough time to play that title to death because there weren't that many games. And you had Commander Keen, you had Wolfenstein 3D, you had, you know, some of these. You would have enough to where you could play at least a month constant on this game before another game was even mentioned.
Wow. Yeah.
And you know, nowadays, like, every other day a title's being released.
Yeah.
I mean, look at my library. I'm almost up to 1,000 games and there's tons of games I don't have.
Yeah. And it's just, I just don't understand why every game.
they called you out on burning it to a floppy. You said you're going to burn it to a floppy.
Yeah, okay. Ha, 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 ha. She, now I lost my train of thought. I don't even remember what the hell I was going to say.
You said every single one of these games.
Yeah, every single one of these games is the same thing. Everything is better than every other game ever released. Like No Man's Sky. Oh, this has never been done. This is going to be better than every other game. It's like it's the same thing for every game, every like somewhat popular game that comes out. It's always better than everything else beforehand. And then it comes out and it flops and then people go up in arms. Oh, well, this is ridiculous. It's not ridiculous. This is what you set. This you set yourself up for failure.
Well, and we've gotten into this because we're expecting games to release so often and people have such a short memory with games. I mean, there's so many games that, I mean, there's the few like Ark and like Rust from, you know, what were smaller developers that really took off. But then there's so many of them that, I mean, like look at Miscreated and all these other games. There's a lot of time and money and effort being put in to make those games.
Yeah.
And if, you know, like just like the Black Death, I mean, when I went and played weeks after it was launched and there's two people playing it, that's a problem. Like how much money they put in to have two people playing on the live servers.
Yeah, it's an issue.
Yeah. And so like we've just gotten this attitude of, all right, we expect so many games and it takes time to make a real good game.
Yeah.
And I think because so many are coming out that if it's not perfect, like people don't make their money back out. So they're just kind of tossing out junk games left and right and seeing which ones stick. It's like throwing stuff against the wall. All right, what's going to stick? Okay, then we'll kind of continue on that one. They're throwing it out so early that you're not getting, you know, you're not getting the best game it could be. You're getting, you know, all right, what can we afford to put out quickly? Okay, is that a good concept? All right, now we'll develop it. And they're not putting out the good polished games anymore. So hopefully this is a good polished game, you know, since it's not an alpha release. I think alpha's really tainted us.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I've given up. I've just given up. I can't take it anymore. It's so frustrating. So yeah. We'll see. I'm looking forward to the game. I'm readying myself for possible failure because that's just unfortunately what we've had to do time and time and time and time and time and time again. It seems like it never ends. So that's No Man's Sky. That's a real positive twist on the show.
So here's a game that that I got because it was recommended to me.
Yeah.
But Life is Futile, and we've talked about this before. It is a very difficult game. But if you're into a game that just is a grind and like you feel like you're getting real achievement from playing it, like it's not easy to do something, this would be a good game for you. But they put out version 1.1.2.1, which just has a lot of fixes in it. They've done some new features for it, but mostly like they're reworking the terrain textures, you know, updating things. So this is a pretty big patch, but I think most of it is fixes for this. So, but yeah, if you don't have it, I would actually recommend.
How much is it?
That's actually what I'm.
Come on, Brian, hurry up.
Life is Futile. I'll test my.
Test your keyboard.
So it's $39.99 right now. And I actually gave a copy of this away, I think, in the last month or two.
Yeah, okay.
So, but yeah, this is it's a fun game, but and it's like a medieval open world survival game with crafting, and actually my tip of the week is going to be on this game. So this but it is a really fun game. It was recommended to me, and I played it on a stream for a while, and it is a very difficult game to really get going on. But they are still. I mainly wanted to show they are still developing this game. They put out the 1.1.2.1, which was a bunch of fixes, and they put out a hot fix after that of 0.2.2, which actually, because they had fixed something with movable objects, they had it to where people could put something inside of an object and then it would make it not movable anymore. So they fixed that so that people won't be able to block other people's movable objects. So like if you had put up something that you could usually pick up and place somewhere else, like, you know, a stand or something that you could take down and put up somewhere else. Like someone could come and stick a log in that and then it would no longer be placeable.
That's so,
you couldn't like move it and then move it somewhere else. Right.
Yeah.
So they fixed that because people were, I guess you could probably troll people a little bit doing that. And then they put out another little hot fix, which just fixed a connectivity issue to servers. So but this game was released November 17th of 2015. So it is less than a year old.
That's great.
But it's got a full season system. It's got spring, fall, winter, you know, it's got the four seasons that actually change in the world. It is an amazing game. It's online, but it is a very if you're looking for a very difficult survival game, this is a really good game.
You mean if you're looking for a survival game?
Yeah. If you're listening to this podcast and you're actually looking for a real survival game.
So Brian, we've been memeified again by Gadlaw, and this is it. I predict that No Man's Sky will be the new Titanfall. That is my prediction, and now it's on evidence on Twitter. So
nice.
I've been wrong plenty of times in the past. I can accept being wrong again. I really don't care. So. See, if you take bold stances, eventually you'll be right. So,
as long as you're extreme in one way or the other, you will be right eventually.
Exactly. So we'll see. You really recommend for $40? You've talked about this, but have you played it enough for it to be, you know, that you could recommend it $40 for somebody?
I don't think I'd recommend it at $40, but I think.
So what's the price? $20?
If they had a sale. I think if they did $20, if it's a game that you're willing to put time into,
okay,
it's a game that you could put serious and really get your money out of that $20. Like, you could really put serious time into it. It's got like a land claiming system and just the building system. Like, everything is definitely a grind, and it doesn't seem to be as much focused on PvP as like what Rust is.
Yeah.
But it's one where you can terraform land and like you actually build a farm and you build everything, and it'd be like a true survival game. And so I don't recommend it for $40, but I would recommend it if you see it go like on a 50% off sale and you're really looking for a survival game that you can just kind of play by yourself or with some other people and just have a game that's not going to run out. Like, you're always going to have something to do in it. Like, this is the game to get.
Gotcha. Speaking of bundles,
it's just a very difficult game to play.
Yeah. Okay. So, did you covered all the updates, right? Because I was gonna pivot. Yeah. Okay. So, speaking of bundles, somebody mentioned the bundles. We've given you the notice. We'll give it to you. I'll give it to you one more time if you weren't paying attention. Humble Bundle Monthly. This month's bundle is
nine days.
It's $12. You have 9 days. We will be playing Call of Duty Black Ops 3 Multiplayer Starter Pack 2 weeks from now. So not this week, the week after, we'll be playing that as the game of the week. So you have your notice. Be here. We're going to be playing the starter pack. You've got 9 days to buy the game. It's $12, which, you know, hopefully you can swing for the game. So I believe we're playing that on the 5th of August. I'd have to look back to confirm that, but I believe it is the August 5th, Call of Duty Black Ops 3. So we'll be playing it. You can get it for $12. You play it once and think about it like going out to the movies. So that's how you do that. And I mean, that's how I justify it. So there you go.
And that's the thing with Humble Bundles. You never know what other games are going to give away. Yeah. You know, so you may get, I think, with The Forest, like, that was worth it for me just for that game alone.
Yeah, definitely. So this is interesting. Life is Strange, which I got. I don't remember how.
Mm-hmm.
I think I got episode one.
I bought episode one, which is kind of disappointing that now.
Well, I have an episode. I don't know what episode or episodes I have, but episode one is now free to play, which is a very interesting marketing tactic.
That makes sense for this type of game. It's got five episodes total.
It makes perfect sense. This is like literally like the def. This is like a micro. This is like an. Like a real life microtransaction, because you're going to get it on the first one. You're going to play the first one. You're going to go, I want more. And you have to buy episodes 2 through 5. Obviously if you want to continue the story. So they are totally doing a real deal. I mean, it's a great marketing term. You have 5 games, you give away the first one for free and people may buy the next 4 because because of the one. So
yeah.
That's interesting.
Now, the frustrating thing for me is since I bought episode one, like, I wish they would have given me something. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
Like, I bought episode one and now they're giving it away for free and I don't get, you know, it's like, I don't get anything for it.
No, but
which is the same thing Team Fortress did. I mean, I bought Team Fortress 2.
Yeah,
and then it went free to play. So kind of, yeah, whatever. I mean, if you want to play this, get it. It's the first episode's free, and then you can pay. And right now they have 45% off 2 through 5. So you can get all of them for $10.99 at the moment. So you, one good thing to do is to play episode 1.
Yep.
If you decide you really like it, then you just go pay $10.99 and you can get the rest of it.
Exactly. There you go. That's yeah, it's simple.
Which they should be doing this more often with games like this. Just release, especially these story-driven games. It's where you can play through that initial story. Yes,
definitely.
And get yourself hooked. And
it's,
if you look
genius.
At the...
It's absolutely
overall,
genius.
It's overwhelmingly positive. Overwhelmingly positive with 54,000 plus reviews. It's, that shows you it's a really good game.
Yeah, that's not, that is not, yeah, every game is not playing it. That is a, I'm not going to say it's a rare breed, but it's not, it is not common for that.
Yeah.
For that
now, BHBCK did point out that with TF2, I did get a founder's hat for having paid
for
it.
Oh, for having
game.
Paid for it? Okay, interesting.
But for me, I could care less about hats. Like,
oh, that's the only point of playing TF2.
So
you can
yeah,
have hats
so
on hats on hats, on hats.
I could care less about hats. So, I you know, when after they changed that and started going with just everything else.
Well, I mean, the game is so old now that it completely runs on people buying skins and trying to screw 10-year-olds out of their skins.
Yep.
that's essentially what TF2 has come to at this point. Acting like you're
somebody
else
to scam. I used to play that game with my wife back before we were married.
TF2 is a fun game, but it's become nothing but screaming. It's because it's a free to play game, so it becomes nothing but this is not degrading anybody, but it's a bunch of children playing it.
Yeah,
and I feel bad saying that because I was in that situation.
You were a child
but that's the thing. Like, that's why I have a kind of a conflict of interest. Like,
yes.
I'm not, but I'm not like
one of those children screaming.
No, but I wasn't like, I wasn't looping back, you know, rap into my microphone because I'm not I wasn't doing that. But that's unfortunately what a lot of that game is people mic spamming like Gary's Mod. It's no different. So there you go.
BHBCK says you got to scream back, Nick.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Waste my time here screaming at a 10-year-old while his mom delivers Tostino's pizza rolls or whatever. Yeah. Great use of my time.
I was watching so Nick and I were watching cringe videos.
Do you really want to do
I'm not going into detail of that. But I saw this other one where it was anonymous cringe, you know. It sounds like there's some little kid who's whispering, he's got an anonymous mask and he's whispering into the microphone so that his mom doesn't hear him and scream at him for recording something on his phone or his computer. It makes me laugh.
It's great.
The internet now.
Do you want to mention anything else about the video?
No, that was hilarious though. If only we could live stream that and not have half of the people in the world hate us.
No, we could totally stream that. Oh, that's a great idea for a show, Brian.
It was hilarious.
We could make so much more money than we do on Infection.
I almost threw up.
Yeah, like
we were watching
the real deal.
Food review cringe. We were watching food review cringe.
Brian, we gotta save this. Come on, this is the show. Okay. We gotta save this. Come on, let's wrap this thing up.
Okay,
you got
so
one more
go
story,
ahead.
And then I'll do the.
Well, then we'll do one more game giveaway,
yes.
And then
do your last story, and then
all right.
We
so
gotta get out of here.
Unreal now has an issue tracker, and so they have an
great.
Official issue tracker, so you can see. And this is the Unreal Engine. So if you're doing any kind of development. Or and you're running across an issue, they have a nice issue tracker that I think they released today, if I remember correctly.
What is it on?
Is
it on their? Is it their own proprietary?
So it's issues.unrealengine.com. So
ooh.
This is something that they're doing.
Not like in the look.
They were doing everything with GitHub before. So
why
now
they using
you have
Trello? Why isn't everybody using Trello? Trello
because
is
this,
perfect.
This is made for much larger number of bugs. Trello, the problem is if you have a limited list of bugs, that works. This, they're looking at very specific bugs, so
okay.
You can track it later, like putting in a specific issue number.
Okay, gotcha.
Following that issue, like it's just more extensive.
Okay. Because I was going to say, Trello is fantastic.
So, yeah. I mean, Trello would work great, but with this, the way that they're doing it, I think they're getting big enough that they kind of outgrew doing something like that.
Fun.
So they have their own actual issue tracker now that is for them.
Well, it doesn't
so.
End up like Daybreak. stuff not resolved for
but that's the thing is months. Daybreak doesn't even run their own issue tracker, so
yeah, there you go,
whatever. All right, so let's go ahead and go do the last one. This is the same thing. If you just put exclamation point raffle into chat, this will enter you. And this time, let's do, you want to do Spec Ops The Line? Does that sound
that
like
works.
A good one?
Yeah, Spec Ops The Line. It's a good game.
Okay, so this is, yeah, a little bit different games for each one. So Spec Ops The Line, if you put exclamation point raffle into chat, that'll enter you. Kind of the similar thing before. That seemed to work pretty well, so if it continues to work, we'll have to definitely keep this way and not do it the old way, because this is a little bit simpler, and it seemed like I can't see the list of names, so I don't know that they're dropping off.
No, it's, I'm sure it's working fine. So here we go. Current players, who's currently playing these games? This is H1Z1. This is combined of Just Survive and King of the Kill. Currently playing that 10,000 and 15. The 24-hour peak for that, 12,534. And the 7-day peak, 13,513. Playing Just Survive alone, currently playing that, 2,737. The 24-hour peak, 3,486. And the 7-day peak, 4,033. Playing King of the Kill, currently 7,278. The 24-hour peak for that, 9,048. And the 7-day peak, 9,480. So very close to the 7-day peak is close to the 24-hour peak there, which is interesting. How about ARK? These numbers are actually surprisingly low for ARK. I don't know what's going on. Currently playing at 27,628. The 24-hour peak, 41,490. And the 7-day peak, 46,726. Brian, that number's been close to like 70,000. Just
sometimes
not that long ago, like last week, I'm pretty sure it was like 68,000. So
I think there's a summer lull going on right now, because I've noticed in a lot of things it seems like numbers are kind of down, and I think it's a lot of it's because of people just getting distracted with summer personally, and that's just my guess. I can't base that on anything, well, but that's what I've noticed.
That's interesting. I guess we'll keep an eye. It seems like it fluctuates every week.
Still, that's a pretty high number.
Yeah. My miscreated numbers didn't update, but currently playing miscreated is 541 players. The 24-hour peak for that is 708, and the 7-day peak is 834. I don't know why that graphic didn't update. That's pretty odd. So that's current players, and we'll keep track of all that stuff. Miscreated is still up there. 7-day peak almost 900. No, actually, not almost eight. Almost 850. But almost 550 playing right now. So that's not a
which used to be multiple times what its high was.
Yes, exactly. So I guess it's held some people on.
And I think that if they continue to put out another update after this and kind of keep building on those numbers, they just need to continue putting out content and updates. And they'll just keep growing that crowd. Like it will never be an ARK, and it'll never be a Rust. But I think if they can get it to where there's like 1,000 people playing consistently, I think that for this game would be a win.
As do I. I agree 100%. So.
All right. So do we want to go ahead and do tip of the week?
Sure. That works.
All right. So tip of the week's where I go through and I'll give either a tip on a specific game or maybe survival gaming in general. So this week we're doing one specifically on Life is Futile. So this is tip of the week. All right, so for this tip, Life is Futile, I wanted to go into a little bit of detail of something that will save you a lot of time if you're playing this game seriously. We talked about it during the show, but this is a game that can be a huge time sink, a huge amount of grind, there's a lot of different things you can do in this game. So I wanted to talk about building a monument. The monument allows you to be able to return home regardless of how far you wander away. So if you're able to build a house and build a monument, you can wander around the map and just go somewhere that's, like a half day's trek away. And then you can instantly, you actually pray is what it says. You pray and then it actually brings you back home. So it's kind of like a teleport back. To make the monument, you need 20 hardwood billets, 100 bones, 5 shaped rocks, and 40 prepared herbs. So if you're going to get the hardwood, you can get those from the high-quality oak trees. One thing you'll notice is that trees have different quality levels. So when you're picking where your home is going to be, you may want to take a look at the type of trees, what the quality level of the trees are that are in the area that you're looking at building at, because to make a pretty big building and really grow, you're going to need a lot of trees, and higher quality ones will give you a lot more resources back. So if you get a high-quality oak, you should be able to get the hardwood that you need for that. The bones you can get from killing different animals. The rocks can be gathered with a pickaxe, so you'll have to go through the process of creating a pickaxe for that. And then you can gather the herbs with a sickle, so as well you'll have to create a sickle for that. One thing is the herbs can be difficult to see because of all the grass and things on the ground. So one trick that you can do is to turn your grass setting to the lowest setting, and it will make it easier to see, because it'll take out all that fake stuff that you can't really gather and make it so that you can see the real gatherable objects. So in the settings, turn your grass setting all the way to the bottom, and then you'll see the items that you can gather will stand out more. So that is a trick to building a monument. Once you get those items, you'll be able to build the monument, and it'll be kind of like a home base that you can port back to. So it'll allow you to wander away and not have to worry so much about being able to find where you built. So, because it is a pretty big world, and it's not big open areas. There's a lot of trees, a lot of things. So that is my Life is Futile tip of the week.
Cool. Thank you, Brian.
Yep.
Very good stuff there. Remember, not all trees are created equal. That's what I learned from the tip of the week.
We get the high quality ones.
Yeah. Only that. We have the highest quality pixels for our trees.
Yep.
All right. We want to roll and we'll see what's going on.
Yep. All right. So let's go ahead and let me make sure. All right. So for this winner, it was Killcam.
Killcam. Cool.
So Killcam, congratulations. I will send you a link with the and what I did is just left the raffle open, so people that entered before would still be in there, and but it won't let the person who won the first one re-enter. So we'll have to decide if we want to continue to do that.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I feel like you got to be here the whole show to win. I feel like somebody could tune out, but we'll
check. That's the thing is that's true. So yeah. We'll discuss that. I just did it that way. Otherwise I can reset it right after the first one. Yeah,
that'll probably work better.
So we'll discuss that, the pros and cons and figure that out. So that Killcam, he's been here the whole time. So
yes, definitely. And of course, another quick note. Reminding you this week's game night, Friday, 9:30 PM Eastern, twitch.tv/landgun44. He'll be live with Rust. Brian will be there. I'm sure some other people will be there. A lot of people have Rust. I hope some of our Rust folks can stop by. I unfortunately will not be there unless a wedding gets canceled in the next 4 days, which is not very likely.
You can always pray that she gets cold feet.
Yeah, I can. One can hope. Actually, I'd rather get paid. But that's gonna do it. Brian, where can people find you online? Any last words?
Yeah, if you want to find me at Boise Computer on Twitter, or you can go to Byte of Tech. That's with an I. byteoftech.com has a link to everywhere else that I am. You can find me at Boise Computer on GitHub. All kinds of fun places. There's links to all that on my blog, and make sure you definitely go to our website, fictionpodcast.com. Has a link to our Discord. It has a link to our Steam group. It's a great place to link up with other people, maybe people that you hear the names of while we're doing the show. If you'd like to play some games with them, come jump in our Discord and join our group, and you'll be able to see those people. So very good.
All right, thank you very much, Brian. We'll see you next week. I want to just quickly tell on the Discord, if you join that, check out the Music Bot channel. And I really want some feedback if people think it's something useful to have or not. So it can hop in the Discord. There's a link on the website. It's infectionpodcast.com. Of course, our Twitter's at infectioncast. Subscribe to us on YouTube. All the regular stuff. And, of course, we do the show live every Tuesday night, 7 p.m. Eastern, right here on our Twitch channel, twitch.tv/infection podcast. Alrighty, folks, that is going to do it for episode 80 of Infection, 80 whole episodes of Infection. My name is Nick Craig, at Nicholas M. Craig is my Twitter. That's going to do it. We'll see you next week for Infection. Have a great week, everybody.